Mr. Woods at New Hope Methodist Church, and we are doing an oral history today for Dr. Thomas Scott's oral history class, and we shall begin. So first, Pastor Woods, if you don't mind telling me, when and where you grew up, when and where you were born and where you grew up.
I was born and educated in Austell, Georgia.
What year, if you don't mind?
1950.
What high school did you go to?
I attended South Cobb High School and graduated from South Cobb High School.
What was your family like? Did you have any brothers and sisters?
It was actually five brothers and one sister.
Wow.
And I was located in the middle. So I had four that was older than I was. And the sister is the baby and one brother underneath, so I think that's right.
So how was it like growing up in Cobb County?
For me, it was good. Even as I reflect on it now, I think I had a real good time and enjoyed it. And the first high school I attended was Lemon Street High School, because we didn't have desegregation back then, so... integration, rather. So, attended Lemon Street High School, and the school bus would pick us up every morning and transport us to Marietta, Georgia on Lemon Street's campus. And that was different because it had allowed us to know everybody in Powder Springs, Clarkdale, Mapleton, and some of Smyrna. Well, all of Smyrna, but we picked up, the bus made those stops in Clarkdale, Austell, and Powder Springs, and over near Macklin Road, we picked up a few from over that way, Guff Robinson Road, picked them up and went on to Marietta for Lemon Street High School.
How was the transition from Lemon Street to South Cobb?
It was totally different. We didn't like it. The whole class, because we couldn't get used to being in the environment that we was in at that time. Never had been around any whites, that larger group of white people in my life before, so it was totally different.
How was the reaction walking in from the students and from the teachers?
It was the same way. I think a lot of the students, and quite a few of them, was hostile. As a matter of fact, I can remember that there was a couple people that wore jackets that had KKK on them, and they would shout obscenities when we changed classes, and we would turn around and wouldn't know who did it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we would wait to be the last one to walk out the classroom so that would give the crowd an opportunity to die down while we were changing classes, so that we wouldn't be attacked or anything.
Was there any physical violence or just verbal?
There were fights, not that many. And sometimes I remember tires was cut on. One of the guys had a car and all four of his tires was cut on the car. And he literally had to pick it up himself to change the tire. And we found out about it, and four or five of us came together a lot of times in PE. Well, not a lot of times, maybe two or three times. Our clothes was taken. And we didn't have any clothes to change in or change back into. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it was nothing. Now, I say it was nothing. Mm-hmm. It was really nothing at all. Because times has gotten so much better. So,
How are the teachers reacting?
I can't recall any teachers being evil or envious of us, mischievous. They was all pretty nice. One of my teachers was my advisor, and I remember, and we still talk, Miss Betty Gray. Yeah, she was really nice to us. She was nice to me, and mm-hmm. she still is, and I really enjoyed her.
Yeah. Did you do any extracurricular activities, such as sports? Or
did football and ran track, but after a while, it was totally different. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get used to it.
Yeah.
Baseball, couldn't get used to it. A lot of my friends did. They played and enjoyed it. I just couldn't get used to it.
Did the team come together, or like, was there a lot of? Do you remember if there was any hostility between the players?
There was a lot of hostility. It was just, I can't explain it. It was totally different than anything that I can say I have experienced. Totally different.
How was the community around where you, like your personal community?
My personal community was that there was, we grew up in an area where after you cross the branch, that's where we lived. Mm-hmm. And up the hill was white families. But we always communicated. We always talked to each other. They would come to my house and sit at the table and eat. I would go to their house and sit at the table and eat. We were just like families, and we talk about it now because some of those families come and worship with me, white families. Mm-hmm. And we just... some of us got along. It was a very close-knit community in Austell, and a lot of us got along with just about all the white families there. Never experienced any hostility there, but every now and then you'd hear people having gang fights and things like that, but I never experienced that.
So if there was hostility, it was from outside of the community?
Usually it was outside, and nobody in the inside of Austell ever. We've always accepted.
Mm-hmm. How did any of your brothers or sisters have any issues?
As far as I know, they didn't, because actually I was the first to attend. I was the oldest one that attended integrated school, so I was the one that started first. Mm-hmm. And my brothers after me had no problems. As a matter of fact, my sister, she went on, and I think she was top of her class when she attended. And so she didn't have any problems. She graduated and went on to Spelman College. It was accepted and went on to Duke University. So she teaches at Duke now. So
really, wow. I clearly this is a Methodist church, but did you grow up Methodist? Was your family Methodist?
Grew up Methodist. The interesting thing about this is my great-grandfather founded this church.
Really?
And this church was the only place in Cobb County, I'm told, where a black man could get an education.
Huh?
This was the school. And out of this school and another church known as Little Bethel Baptist Church, they formed the Austell Consolidated School, which was the elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And when they formed that school, it went on to become Austell Consolidated School, then Washington Free School. Then it was torn down and people went to the Austell Elementary School. And from there, we went on to Lemon Street. And then from there, we went to South Cobb. And Austell Elementary School allowed kids from Powder Springs, Clarkdale, Austell, Mapleton, to attend Austell Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
Austell Consolidated School.
Yeah.
Those two names, Washington Street School. And there was three names that it was given. So, yeah, this church was very instrumental in starting that. One of the teachers that was here was a lady by the name of Mrs. Hattie Gaines Wilson. And Hattie Gaines Wilson has a library in Marietta that's named after her. She was also a Cobb County librarian. She's an African American out of Zion Baptist Church. Her husband is still living, and he's the chairman of the finance committee here, chairman of the trustees here. And he been here since 19, been here 80 years, 90 some years old, still walks and talks and very actively take care of himself. He's a widower now.
You said you bought this building in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the New Hope Methodist Church before?
In 1962 or 64, somewhere thereabout. The church was located right here at the intersection of Strickland Road and Veterans Memorial Highway, right down below the Crystal Ladder. You turn behind there, it's a junkyard. The church was down there. And they had a meeting and decided that an African-American church wouldn't grow in this area. So they moved the church to Atlanta. And it stayed there for 40 years. and it didn't grow. It did nothing. It was in a house. And in 2000, and I think it was 2005, and I'd have to check the dates, we moved here. We bought this property and moved here and started to grow.
So you had most of, when you grew up, you mostly were at the one off of, located near Strickland.
I think they call it 700 Rear Bankhead Highway. I'm not sure. But that's where I served at. I was about 12, 13 years old, and I went to church there and with my parents. And when I turned 19, I didn't have to go to church, so I didn't go.
That's common.
I went on into the Air Force, and after leaving the Air Force, I went to join the police department in Atlanta. And I joined first in Austell. Joined the police force, and it was interesting. After I got out of the Air Force, and I believe it was 72 or 73, maybe it wasn't that late, I think it was when I got out, they had other black Austell police officers, but these police officers was older men, and they hadn't been through the police academy, which was academy that gave them accreditation and law enforcement training. Mm-hmm. So when I was hired in, I think it was 72, maybe 73, I was the first one hired as a radio dispatcher, and later went on through the police academy and actually went out and was a full-time police officer in Austell. Full-time. I came out of school and I worked 40 hours. These other people were like part-time. I was full-time police officer. And I worked for about 2 years, rose to the rank of sergeant, received numerous accommodations. It was a very hostile time back then, because we had a police chief that had been arrested and convicted of stealing money and was fired. We had a lady that had been burnt in the jail and killed, a black woman, a black female named Mert Lovejoy. And it was a lot of anger and hostility around what had happened in the community. And so when I joined the police force, I lost a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. But I always felt like it was something that I needed to do, because I felt like now God was calling me for that position. Mm-hmm. And I took it. And I worked for about 2.5 years, maybe a year, maybe 2 years somewhere. And I left and went to Atlanta Police Department. I kept my residence out here in Cobb County, and I've always lived in Cobb County.
If you don't mind us backtracking a little, what year did you enter the Air Force?
I think it was must have been around 70. It was actually the Air National Guard. What I did was I was getting ready to be drafted. I believe it was 72. I'm not sure. 70. It was right after I graduated, shortly after 69, 70, somewhere around in there. I entered because I was getting ready to be drafted and sent to Vietnam, and I already had two other brothers mm-hmm. serving in Vietnam, and my mother didn't want to go through having another one, so I just joined the Air National Guard. And when I did, that was a branch of the Air Force. I went on to the San Antonio and started training and did everything that I was supposed to do there and stayed in for 7 years. But it allowed me to work when I got out of my basic training after full training for 6 years, that's 5.5 years or more. I served at the 129, which is up near Kennesaw. It used to be near Kennesaw on McCullum Road.
Okay. So you were stationed in
Cobb County. I was stationed there in Cobb County, and that was my base station. I stayed there for the rest of my time.
Well, that's good. So you could be near your family, and that's lucky.
Yeah, so I stayed there and did my whole entire tour right there and came on out after I finished my tour duty. And it also allowed me to stay on the Atlanta Police Department, because I was serving on the Atlanta Police Department. Mm-hmm. Stay there.
So you did, you were the two simultaneously? You did.
Right,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, sure did. Yeah.
How was the military when you went in? Was it, or the guard being in Cobb County?
It was totally different. It was. I remember I went in November, and one of the things that happened when I went in, I found out that I was in an all-white outfit.
Really?
I was the only black there, so it really started bothering me at first, and after about 2 days there, I was appointed as the dorm chief, so that meant I was in charge of all my fellow officers there and led them in and out. And that's when, after I got out of that, I decided when I was growing up in Austell, I worked for a print shop. I was working as a printer. I got that part. And it was known as the Austell Enterprise. And the Austell Enterprise was owned by a guy by the name of Sid Williams. Not the Sid Williams, that's the chiropractor, another one. And he wrote a lot of racist articles within his newspaper about blacks and about the community, especially about people like Martin Luther King and Jose Williams and all those guys. We just write a lot of editorials about that. And I enjoyed working for him because I started when I was about 10 years old working for that company.
Mm-hmm.
And I only worked maybe 3 or 4 hours a day. But when I was in high school, they gave me an opportunity because I thought I was going to be a pressman to work, get out of school about 1 o'clock in my junior year and go and work there to train to be that pressman doing a vocational training.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that and graduated and went from there into the Air Force.
So did your vocational training help you when it came into the getting into the Guard? And were you promoted besides?
Nah. What happened was when I got in the Guard, and that's how law enforcement came in, after a series of tests, it was determined that I had police skills. And that's when I was trained as a military police officer in the Guard. And after training as a military police officer in the Guard and being a military police officer, I got out and got the job at Austell as a police officer. And that's the reason they hired me full-time. And then I went on and got my training there and trained, and then I left and went to Atlanta.
You said that there were several African-American police officers already working part-time in Austell.
Mm-hmm.
And you being the first full-timer, was there any animosity between the other officers and you, or was it?
They wasn't there at the force at that time.
They weren't.
They were already gone. I was the only one that was there then. And a matter of fact, one of the guys that was there, he left Austell Forces part-time and went to Cobb County Sheriff Office. And he was the first African-American sheriff with Cobb County that was hired there. His name was Horace Hill. And Horace Hill worked there for a long time. He was the only black deputy. And he worked on the midnight shift. And they called him Captain Midnight. And I worked on the shift down here in Austell. And I worked the midnight shift. We always worked midnight shift. Nobody very seldom ever seen us. Because we worked the midnight shift. Now, I thought about this, one of the main reasons, because we were black, you didn't see us. And, but occasionally, they may be short of help, and they would bring me in. And one day, I remember very clearly being brought in on the day shift. And when I got out from work, I was met by two white males and one black male. They followed me home in a fight ensued. And it was a pretty nasty fight. And when all the officers came down, because somebody called and said that the officer needed help. And when they all got down there, I had the guys, all three of them subdued.
Really? Wow.
In custody. And they took them away. And it was my first case that was tried in Cobb Superior Court.
Really?
Wow.
Messed with the wrong police officer.
Yeah. And I was young and I was energetic and I worked out a lot then. So
yeah.
I was real strong. I was probably 22, 23 years old. Yeah.
Did they give a reason for following you?
Well, the one reason they said they didn't want no nigga on the police force. And I was so smart.
Mm-hmm.
that they had heard about it. So, and it wasn't anything for, at that time I would go to places like Bill's Steakhouse, which is in Austin with an all-white bar. And it would be, I have a lot of bar fights in there that I'd have to break up. A lot of times they would sometimes turn on me.
Right.
I didn't think anything about it.
You obliged them.
So I had those, and I remember I received accommodations for, because like I said, I was young and I was pretty well physically conditioned that I could handle most anything. Had a chase one night. Well, one day they called and said the store had been robbed just inside Austin. And they was giving a description of the guy. I came from behind the desk and got in the police car and went to the scene. Came back up the street, met the guy, and arrested him. And they wrote an article. Police officer works the desk, leaves the desk, and get back out of the road and catches the robbers before they could get away.
Really? Wow. Was that in the Marietta Daily Journal? Or
I think they wrote it in the Marietta paper. And I got that article at home. I have to get it and share with you. It was, I know it was in, I think it might have been in the Austin paper too. So I read that. In the Atlanta paper as well. Had a picture of me there. I was a sergeant there. And there's so many things. Heroic things that I was able to do. Now that I think about it, you know. Oh man, it was a lot. This guy one night, was able to help him. He was trying to jump start his car, and the battery blew up in his face.
Really?
And I don't know where I got this from, but something told me to put water on his eyes, and I did. And it saved his eyes. Just some of the things I did when I was in Austin. I left the police force. It must have been around 73. It was October 73. It must have been in September of 73 that I left. Because in October of 73, I was hired in Atlanta.
Now, how was, did you like working in Atlanta better than you liked working in Austin?
Oh, yeah, I did. What probably inspired me to go to Atlanta was I had a chase one morning, started about 2 a.m. And the chase went all the way from Austell into Atlanta. I apprehended the person that I was chasing. But I called for assistance from Atlanta because we was crossing the river chasing. And they, about 7 or 8 Atlanta police officers met me and said they didn't know that they had a black police officer. That way. And the way I handle things, they said, well, you need to get your superior officer before you can take the person back. And I looked at them and said, I am my superior officer. And it was like, nobody knew it. It was nobody but me. So,
yeah.
Because I was a small police force. And got the guy and took him back.
So you were the only officer on duty in the midnight shift?
Oh, yeah, so a lot of times I would be the only one, and sometimes they might have somebody that would flown in and come in later on, maybe at 4, but most of the time I might be the only one that was working.
Wow.
With a dispatcher, we had a dispatcher. Sometimes we might not have a dispatcher, but if we had a dispatcher, it would just be 2 of us working for the whole city.
Was it busy? Would you get a lot of calls?
Yeah, you didn't get no calls. It was nothing happening. The county would have a lot of calls. Because, see, that was the county, and if you could listen and monitor their radio, they'd have a lot of calls, but we very seldom had anything that was happening. You might get somebody burglarizing a building. You apprehended them and whatever. But nothing usually happened.
Was there any, you said that you would have to go in and break up bar fights, and a lot of times they would turn on you. Was it the racial aspect that caused those problems, or was that
I think it was a lot of that and alcohol.
Mix alcohol with anything, it's a bad idea.
There was a couple of police officers that lived in Austell that worked for the Atlanta police force, and they would be there drinking. And they knew me, and they would usually probably instigate a lot of those fights. And when I come in, people thought I was by myself, and they didn't realize that there was 2 other Atlanta police officers that always would assist me. and getting them out of there and doing whatever I needed to do. So it was crazy.
So, you know, family. Did you ever? Are you married? Were you married?
Yeah, I was married. Still lives, and we at that time I only had one daughter, so it wasn't really that bad working in Austin. I was there. Well, I had just left. Nah, I've probably been gone a long time when the first police officer was killed there. I remember it very well. I rode on the motorcycle squad, so I escorted a lot of funerals of officers that was either killed or died through the city of Austell. So mm-hmm. It was always good to come back through Austell whenever I was there. And other than that, nothing.
Did your so you lived? I don't remember. Did you say you lived in Austell or in Cobb County?
Yeah, I lived in Austell and. Then later moved to Powder Springs when I started policing. Oh yeah, I remember one Halloween night while I'd been on the police force, I parked my car in my yard. I lived over near Lewis Road and it was shot with shotgun blast, and I never did find out who did that. And just one night my car was sitting in the yard and I heard a shotgun. Well, I heard a shot, and when I got up the next morning my car had been sprayed with bullets.
Huh.
It was a very fancy light blue Ford Torino 72, and it was baby blue. It had a big stripe down the side. It was just a beautiful car, so somebody shot it. So. Yeah, I never did figure out why.
I think
it was because I was a police officer. Just about everybody in the community, again, knew that I was a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I can't remember of any incidents. And again, I think it was due to a lot of ignorance
mm-hmm.
and not racial. But this church in 1964, and we probably need to retell this, because in 1964, I remember when I was in elementary school, there was a house that was bombed over here on South Gordon Road, I believe it was. And the family was not killed, but they said it was the Klan that did it. I don't know if they ever found out who did it, but the house was bombed and it was tore all up. And one of the guys that was in that house was in my class. And I didn't know until a few years ago, one of the members of this church, she's still living, and that was her cousin's. And she remembered it well, so.
No one was injured.
No one was injured, but that bombing made a lot of attention around here because it was in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 64. Yeah, so it must have been around 64. Now, I don't think it was 64, it was probably before then. But I remember the bombing and the incident.
So, you said that you liked working in Atlanta more than you liked working in Austell. Was there, were there any other reasons besides the fellowship with the officers that you met?
It was a more professional police department, and you didn't have to put up with a lot of racism and other stuff that went on within the department. You could work there in Atlanta and be appreciated, I felt back then. I was on the motorcycle squad there, and while I was there, I met six presidents.
Wow.
I believe it was six of them. I got a picture right there with me meeting Rosalind Carter when she was there, and that was my job occasionally whenever Air Force One came to Atlanta with the president. I was the one that met them and escorted them to Atlanta or wherever they needed to go. And when Carter was doing his transaction team, he did all that at the governor's mansion, so I stayed there working with them, moving them back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
People like Burt Lance, Andrew Young, all those people, all those organizations, all those things I worked on with all the dignitaries. When the American Organization of American States came here, I did that when I worked there with them. I was part of the Fulton County delegation. I met all Governor Busby. Matter of fact, he rode my motorcycle.
Really?
That caused him to probably go ahead and buy the motorcycles for Georgia State Patrol. It was just a lot. It was a different police force. And I enjoyed working with them.
Well, of course, it was probably much more active criminal-wise, crime-wise.
It was, and it was, and the pay was better.
No.
Pay was better.
So, were there any close calls, any interesting stories about while you were working in Atlanta?
I remember three shootouts in a month's time. And my last shootout that I was in, I remember the bullets, and I remember the incident real well because I received a call, and a lot of my officers that called me thought I was dead.
Really?
When they called the bank. I was inside the bank. I was working as an off-duty security guard, as a police officer, and we worked off-duty. And they thought I was dead, and the bank got robbed, and the guy threw the gun down and ran. And he took my gun. And as a result of that, they suggested that I give my life to Christ. I need to get in somebody's church.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, and that was in 1981.
Did you go to church a lot in between those time periods?
In 1981, I went back in February of 1981. I stopped going to church when I was, it must have been around 1970, maybe before then. And so I went back to church. That was on a Monday that shootout occurred. And on that next Sunday, I went to New Hope Church. I went down to Mapleton looking for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it moved. Unbeknown to me. So rather than get alarmed about it, I went on over there because I like it. I think I got in touch with my mom, and she said it was open in Atlanta. And I went over there. And got there just in time for Sunday school, and the late Dr. C.S. Stinson was the pastor, and he welcomed me, and I worked for, that was 81, I worked until in 1987 he retired, no, in 1987 he died, and we got another pastor by the name of Gaither Varner. In 1992, I accepted my call and was assigned a supervising pastor by the name of Jim Lowry, who is now the Atlanta Marietta District Superintendent. He was pastor in the Kitchen United Methodist Church. And so he became my supervising pastor, and I worked through my process and went on to Candler School of Theology and graduated from there. And in 1999, I was assigned pastor of this church, the senior pastor.
When did you retire from
the police? I retired right after the Olympics in 1997. That was my last time working as a police officer, August 3rd, 1997, I retired.
Was it difficult balancing those two very important jobs?
No, because really I feel like a lot of the skills that I had learned as a police officer helped me as a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it makes me a more effective pastor. I went on and graduated, and I retired and became pastor. One of the things that I did after becoming pastor was to seek a place to have worship, because when I started as a pastor of New Hope, we have gotten down to probably about 12 in worship.
Wow.
and started working in the community and pursuing different things, and we got the worship attendance up to probably around 45, 50, and there was so many people coming and had so many children that was around the church that we needed to get space.
Mm-hmm.
We needed the space, because that was like a house.
Yeah.
And it just wouldn't hold what we were doing, so we found this property, bought it, and brought the church home.
What, was this a Methodist denomination before you?
It was nothing. This building, we were getting ready to build in Atlanta. We had secured everything that we needed, permits and everything, and but started running into snares that wouldn't allow us to really get that church off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
In Atlanta. So was on the way to the church, the pastor, that Sunday morning, and one of the members looked, like by the name of Miss Carrie Oliver, she said, "There's a church right there. Why don't we just buy that church, pastor, and worship there?" And I said, "Nah. God got something bigger for us."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Well, you can look." We came in and got permission to look at the church. And when I came inside, after persuading the real estate agent to let us do that, the ceiling in there and the ceiling in the fellowship hall was exactly what God had shown me in the vision. And from there, we went ahead and made an offer to try to get the church bought.
Was that a smooth operation, or was there snags that you feel that the Lord had a lot to...
The Lord had a lot to do with it. The day we met at the Bible study, I'll never forget it, on a Wednesday night. And we were going to decide right after that with the officers if we were going to buy the church or what we were going to do. And after the Bible study, we decided we were going to buy it. We didn't have no money. And we did something that we never had done before. We passed a collection plate.
Really?
I said, "Well, we can start right now. Let's take the money out." Because I said, "We will not write a check if we don't have the money in the bank." And I never will forget it, Emmanuel Wilson. He said, "I don't know. Let's pass the offering plate, though, and let's see." And we passed it and went around and we came up with $1,200.
Wow.
And Brother Wilson's, they said, "Well, that's good. We'll get the rest of it up later." And Brother Wilson said, "I don't think so." He said, "Let's pass it again." And we passed it again and we came up with the $3,200 with 8 of us in Bible study.
Wow.
To get this down payment and get this church up. We bought it, and it's been a blessing to us ever since. We came in 2005. Come, if everything goes well, on October 16th, 2009, we'll be fully licensed for our daycare, doing schooling and education again here.
That's excellent.
And we're going to continue to build on the reputation that the church had in the early 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Of teaching excellence. But this time it will not only be the African Americans, it will be all.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever will come, they will find a school of excellence.
That's great. So how large is your, you said that at the...
On the roll we have here 152, I think it is, on the roll. Average worship attendance is somewhere around 55 to 65. Fluctuating depending on if they're not raining or not.
It always seems that nowadays it's been opening up. I'm always made a joke, Governor Perdue prayed for rain when we had that drought, and I just keep thinking, he needs to stop doing that now. We've had enough.
On that on September the 20th, we had our charge conference. They have charge conferences in the Methodist Church, and musician sang the song "Let It Rain," and in that song, the theology of the song say, "Open up the floodgates, let it rain."
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, on that day, it started to pour down, and that was the 20th of September. And you know the rest of the story, it rained, and how many days it rained here, so.
Oh, I remember we got 2 days off of school for that.
So it rained and it flooded all. As a matter of fact, it was so much rain that I went down to where my old elementary school was located, to Austell Elementary, and it rose all the way up. And I remember that creek when we used to look out the window and see it raise up and saw the fish jumping out in the playground area. But this time it damaged all, the school was already gone, but it tore up all that school, that church that had just bought down that $1.5 million. It just flooded all that. And for the first time in my life, it flooded my home place, my dad's house that he had given us. It flooded and it totally destroyed it.
Oh, wow.
So that's the first time we ever seen water that came up that house. So my brother, he went down to check on the house, and he said that you couldn't even see the top of the house. It was so much water. So, but I remember flooding in Austell because the Perkins Creek would flood all the time. But I had never seen as much water from Sweetwater Creek that, well, it wasn't Perkins Creek, it was actually Sweetwater Creek, but it ran there. Perkins, it used to be a Perkins coin mill right there. So, but it would always flood down. But this time it just flooded. It was so much water. I ain't never seen so much water. I remember that day I was going down to Camp Ministries in Mapleton, in Austell, rather, and I couldn't get there because I sat on the board of directors and I was going to help feed the homeless and take care of their needs. Couldn't get there because so much water. And that was over near the food depot where it flooded over there. So it was awful. Never seen that much.
How many of your congregation that was in Atlanta, when you moved up here, came with you? All of them?
All of them. Every one of them. All of them.
Wow.
So they all came. We didn't have not a one that left. They all came. And all of them are very excited about what's going on in the church and the ministers. We have an outreach ministry here that we pick up from the different shelters and feed the homeless. Work closely with the schools here in the area and feeding the athletes and doing Bible studies away at different off-site locations.
So, like, y'all do the lunches for South Carolina?
We never did them for South Carolina. We did them for Pebble Brook High School.
Okay.
Occasionally, yeah. We do them, feed them before the game. We'll feed them. And that's something that we enjoy doing, and we're looking forward to doing that again. We do carnivals out here on the grounds. My wife was actually my high school sweetheart, and
really?
She is the first African American to attend and graduate from Pebble Brook High School. So we're in ministry together here. I'm from South Carolina, and she's from Pebble Brook, and those are two rivalries.
I went to, I played football at Wheeler High School, so
okay.
we had the dinners before and people would bring them in, so yeah. I remember getting beaten bad by South Carolina. Of course, we were beat by everyone, so.
Yeah, I remember when Osmond had that record for being beaten by everyone, and McEachin. McEachin also, and all my kids graduated from McEachin. As a matter of fact, my son was on that Final Four. He was on that team that went to the Final Four, and I think that's the closest they ever got to getting a Super Bowl, championship.
Yeah.
The closest they ever got. He was there when they had a big turnaround. And so.
How receptive was the community for you to come back after all those years?
You know, I don't think anybody really knows, but the Little Bethel Baptist Church down there, we talked to them, and you know, it was right across the street from them because it's a cemetery over there where my grandparents are buried, and we was very instrumental in working with them, and we still work with them. Right after we got here, maybe 2 years after we've been here, their church was broken into and it was vandalized and all kind of graffiti painted on the wall and racial stuff, and we really, that started bothering me, but I think it was just a kid that laid out of school and just wanted somewhere to be, and so broke in this church and just vandalized it. So, but we lived through that. The community's been very good to us. So, always being here and supporting us. Went out and met a lot of business people. And we find ourselves being a multicultural church now because we have a lot of Hispanics that worship with us. We had one church that came and they stayed with us for 3 years almost, 2-3 years. And they grew from 70 to 300. When they got 300, we sent them out and they moved up into the shopping center and they're doing about 1,400 now.
Wow.
In worship. And,
was that a Methodist?
No, it was an Assembly of God church.
Okay. And they would have, y'all would do different times, you know. Okay.
Different times and sometimes occasionally worship together, you know. It was very good. I enjoyed it. We had some beautiful Christmas programs and Easter programs. I mean, it was just totally different. Totally different. But the first day we walked in the building, they came.
Mm-hmm.
The first time they were here. I didn't expect them to be here, but they came and said they needed a place to worship, and we said okay, and they came in and worshiped with us, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, you know, the community has been good to you, but this church has also been very good to the community.
Well, I hope so. One of the questions that I always ask the congregation is, if this church left this community, what would they say? So we want to make sure that they say we miss us.
Yeah.
They love being with us. We're working closely with this school, the new charter school.
Mm-hmm.
We will do a breakfast for the teachers' prayer and breakfast with them on Monday morning. I think sometime this month, maybe next week sometime, we'll have a prayer breakfast with for every month with prayer and breakfast for all the teachers and even the students that want to be a part of it. We're looking for a way to fund that right now. But it's going to happen, so.
How much of a demand for this new early childhood school was there? I mean, was that a blessing as well, of course?
It was a blessing. And it was something that God had given me from the day one when we came that we was going to do that, because when this church was founded, that's what was in the church with the school.
Okay.
And I figured that this is what God had in mind for it then, and he still has that in mind now for it. So we've had people come.
Grade.
Now we're gonna start with K-2 through K-4, and then we'll start with grades 1 through 5, hopefully, and move on up eventually to do high school, I hope.
Oh wow, that would be great.
So we want to have just a private school here,
mm-hmm.
Christian school.
There are a lot of Christian schools around like that that go that have really just blossomed. They help out with. You know, with church attendance and with lots of things. I it's rare to see a church that doesn't have,
mm-hmm.
you know, and which.
Well, I haven't seen any African American churches in Cobb County,
mm-hmm.
that do have.
Oh, really?
But we definitely want to be one that will have, and so far we're back. Mm-hmm. Make a little history saying we're going to be the first. So we hope to do that and do it well.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's wonderful that you're circling, you know, you're coming back full circle from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The education, coming back to the education. I think that's really neat. I did not know that. I think that's.
And I'm excited about it also because my wife is involved in this and she does the Christian education module, and she's graduating probably in May. Next year she'll be graduating her master's in Christian education, so that helps us write a Christian education curriculum,
mm-hmm.
for the church that starts with those young children and work their way all the way through up until their collegiate years into the church and Christianity. So that's what the school is going to be doing also. It's strictly Christian,
mm-hmm.
and I tell people everybody is welcome, but it's a Christian school.
Right.
If you're Muslim and you come in, it's a Christian school.
Right.
We still welcome you, but it's Christian school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
had a summer camp that was really good this past year. We had about 42 students, and they all enjoyed it. It was great. We did a lot of sightseeing and a lot of traveling. Governor's Mansion and touring and seeing different things, just keeping kids involved in some things, especially with the crime rate that's down in this area. We try to work closely with the community and do stuff that would help the kids to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with that by taking the summer camp home.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the cheapest summer camp that it is, because we charge $60 a week. And that's food 12 hours a day.
Wow.
And breakfast. And
That is very expensive.
Because those prices won't be this then. But that's what we do.
So, kind of just wrapping everything up, Cobb County's changed so much, and you've lived here most of your whole life, except for
my whole entire
couple
life.
Yeah. Which is great that you've been able to stay in this one county. But tell me some of your ideas about how it's changed.
It's changed in the transportation, the roadways through here have changed. The mindset of the county has changed. Leadership has changed. It's just, in my opinion, and it's a great place to live and a great place to raise kids. It's very family oriented. I love the commissioners and work close with Woody Thompson, and I worked with the previous commissioner also. And I like their leadership. I've had the opportunity to have Congressman David Scott to come here and be a part of the services. And I also welcome my brothers. Any political person that wants to have an agenda, want to speak, I let them speak. We want to be that church to where all the leaders meet here and they talk about things, community oriented. Had an opportunity to meet, I think his name is Doug, he's the state senator. I hadn't met him, but I talked to his office about getting some work done out on the road. Had a great response from him. Doug, I can't think of his last name. He's the senator for this district. Also, Oakland, he's the Cobb County Commissioner. One of the greatest is our county manager, Hankerson. I think he's done just a great job in what he does here as the county manager over the years. And been here about 20 years, having the county's A-plus bond rating and excellent credit rating. His leadership is just impeccable. Got a great share here. Warren, Neil Warren is just great. And I've had an opportunity to be with those people. Miss Betty Gray, who's now, Miss Betty Gray was my class advisor when I was in high school. I was her first African American president when she was in the school system.
Really?
And we've just had a beautiful relationship over the years, and she's been here to worship with me as well as sit in different committees. And she lives in this area, so we've worked very close with making sure that kind of change that we're gonna have in the community is positive. It's just been beautiful, the change. I love it. Kennesaw University, I like what's going on there. My wife is a graduate from Kennesaw, and I can't say enough about the county. I love it. I really love it. Yes. I can't see myself living anywhere else. And I've been four foreign countries, and I don't know, just about every state in the United States. This is my place.
Well, that's excellent. That's excellent. Thank you so much for letting me interview you today. And this will conclude the interview.
All right.